Determined tonight that we will spend the bulk of our time in this evening together in prayer. But before we do that, I'd like to have you take your Bibles just for a moment and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Jeremiah chapter 1. And our reading begins at verse 11 through verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething, literally a boiling pot. And the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. A boiling pot tonight, a boiling pot. Join me in prayer as we just take a glimpse at these references before us, and then spend some time in prayer. Next week, Lord willing, if the rapture hasn't occurred by then, I'll be coming back to this portion of Scripture in Jeremiah 1 and dealing with each of these points in a bit more detail. But tonight I just want to, for those of you who are note takers and who are particularly interested in prophetic Scripture and its application to current events, give you something to chew on between now and then in the form of an outline. So pray with me as we begin tonight. Our Father and our God, we are totally helpless to make any sense of Scripture, particularly the difficult and complex areas of prophecy, without your help. So many things to consider. So many layers of time, so many disputes and differences of opinion. Help us, Lord, to rely simply on what we know to be the truth as it's revealed in your word. And where we do not understand, keep us, Lord, from jumping to premature conclusions. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be as a people of God saved by grace, confident in your mighty sovereignty. You are the King, and you never lose control. You never lose control. But you do work things according to your purpose, to every detail. You miss none of it. And while men oftentimes take a haughty position, and indeed many times scorn you and laugh in the face of the supernatural God, yet you will have your way. As it was with Judah and Jerusalem and Israel of old, so shall it be in the present day. And we ask your Heavenly Father that you give us the opportunity now to enjoy the Scripture, make much of our time to pray, We realize, Lord, that there are great and significant things happening in our country today and in Israel. The same, perhaps even more pointed are the events unfolding even tonight as we gather here for worship. I pray, dear Lord, for your blessing upon your people and ask, Lord, that you might be pleased with our responses to your word. And Lord, I would ask that you might hear our prayers tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A boiling pot. I would just remind you that this is Babylon's pot. And the idea of the seething or the boiling has in mind a fire that has been ignited. And I might be quick to add that this is a fire that has been ignited by the sovereign God of heaven. For he determines in this instance to bring judgment upon Judah and upon the city of Jerusalem. And when you consider the nature of the fire, it is as a fire that has been ignited and fanned to the hottest pitch possible. As I mentioned this morning, as I found out that it is an emblem of war, an oriental symbol of a raging war, as a matter of fact. And the first thing I would point out to you is the crash in verse number 14. The crash. The Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth, and those are the key words, break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And the word picture that you would have there is simply a door that has been up to this point secured. Judah's door, so to speak, secured by an over-protective and loving God, will finally be broken down, as it were, a thief finally able to crash the door and gain entrance. That's what the idea is here. An evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land, bar none. There's the crash. Just as a door thrown open, a thief rushes in to do the evil that he intends to do. In verse 14 also, there is the point of the compass to consider. The point of the compass. The Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And many people will look at their Bible map and say, well, if this is Babylon, how does it figure that the point of the compass is at north? Well, for those who strain at gnats, let me just say to you that technically speaking, Babylon in the time is roughly northeast of Israel, but in every occasion where there has been an invasion into Israel or to the nation south, they always entered by a circuitous route from the north straight into the south. And the only other option that would be open to any invading army, of course, is the great expanse of that desert that you see in your map there. So the point of the compass is out of the north. Out of the north. Now, of course, there are tremendous implications, as we understand it to be in Jeremiah's day, Babylon, Syria, Assyria, and all of their tributary princes and nations will gather from the north and assault Israel, Judah, and enter into Jerusalem. But concerning contemporary events, you know and I know that when you read Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, there's a great deal of prophecy there that concerns not Jeremiah's day so much as it is our own day. And right now, in just a moment, I will make a comment on what is happening tonight and tomorrow in Washington, D.C. with respect to the nation of Israel. And if you want to visit in your devotional times this week in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, it would be a good read. Very good read. And understand this, that particular invasion, the first of two that will be that is described, that occurs during the tribulation or in the proximity of the tribulation, Ezekiel 38 and 39 have to do with the initial invasion that will take place. I hate to hesitate to say this because I'm not exactly positive, but it will take place at or after the beginning of the tribulation period. Some, and I don't dispute their reckoning, see it occurring before the tribulation starts, but in very close proximity to it. I can't go that far, but I understand the reasoning. But it makes a good point of read for you this week. And then in verse number 15, please see, again, that which I've addressed, the coalition. Verse number 15, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, all the families of the north, and they shall come. There's a great coalition there. As I've mentioned in Jeremiah's day, you have at least Babylon. You have everyone underneath Babylon. Assyria has been subjugated to them. Egypt has retreated. Those were the three major powers that were politically active in Jeremiah's day. But now Babylon is in the driver's seat. And they will drag with them a host of other lesser kingdoms and princes and nation states into Israel in Jeremiah's day. In our own time, we understand that that there is a deepening bond of political kinship forming between Russia and Iran and Libya and Turkey, and some of the other nations there are basically involved in it, contemporary time. But just understand what you read here in verse number 15. Then and now. Then and now. And of course, you look at verse 16 and you see the cause. The cause. And by the way, it is as promised. Verse 16 says, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. That's the cause of this assault on Judah and Jerusalem. And it's exactly what the Lord said He would do way back when Moses was recording in such places as Deuteronomy 28. Their wickedness. They literally forsook God. And may I point out to you that it is not that they utterly forsook God in the sense that they did not carry on a form of worship, but their evil was that they had a syncretic type of an approach to worship, where they made time for Baal and they made time for Jehovah and saw not the conflict between the two. Much like what you see going on in modern day Christianity in a wide sphere of the churches of the land. So there's the cause in verse number 16. And then finally in verse 15, I have you look back at that. There's the conquest. I mean, after all, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon go to all the effort to invade. Will they be victorious? And verse number 15, of course, indicates so. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And please note what the rest of the verse says. They shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar would finally arrive, I believe the time period is about an 18-month calendar period in which a siege occurred. And finally, the emblematic language here in verse number 15 indicates that triumph would be secured. And as the Oriental custom would be, the victors would set up their great shops at the opening or the entry point to the city, indicating again that they will control at that time movement in and movement out of the city. So there will be the conquest. And then finally, we shall see when we conclude next next Lord's Day, that in Jeremiah chapter 52, in the conclusion of the matter, the pot finally boils over. The pot finally boils over. You read in Jeremiah 52 in verse number 4, it came to pass. Proceed from there. So there is a boiling pot, as it was so in Jeremiah's day, so it is today in the year 2010. Now, let me just make a few comments so that we can spend some time in meaningful, very pointed prayer. As I mentioned this morning, I was leaping off of an idea that was introduced to me in my college days at BBC, where oftentimes they would have days of prayer. And I mentioned this morning that when that first began in the first couple of years of my scholastic career there, I rebelled against that in my heart. I just couldn't see why you would waste a whole day of class time, stop everything, and pray. You know, I just couldn't understand that. It seemed to me to be a colossal waste of time. But then later on, wisdom prevailed, and you come to understand, as I'm sure all of you have, that short of prayer, there's not a whole lot that can be done by anybody concerning anything. And it is always wise to appeal to our great and wonderful God in such matters as these. And I would give you this as a focal point of your prayer times tonight. If you're recording again, let me give you, first of all, our homes. Prayer for our homes. Without detailing and outlining, which is not necessary, I'm aware that the church is only as strong as its weakest home. And the nation is only as strong as its weakest church. I can't give an account for the churches of the land who are plastic in the sense that they really don't have a living relationship to the eternal God. They have a form of religion, but they deny the power there. Can't give an account for that. But I'm aware that in every single home that's part of this fellowship, whether it involves the home directly or family members and friends closely related to the home, there are deep issues. Some of them, of course, are physical in nature. There are some people who hurt tonight. Some of them are sinful issues. People are battling with sin. And there's a lot of doubt and confusion in the homes. And I would just ask you to go to prayer tonight and pray for the homes of our church family and pray for the homes of our sister churches. It is, after all, part of our covenant obligations that we do that routinely and regularly. And I would ask you to pray for our church as a whole and for our sister churches. It is a remarkable thing to read through a place like, for example, 2 Timothy. And to, as you read some of those verses about that in the latter days, perilous times shall come, where men will turn away their ears from the truth. It's a terrible thing to read those verses and realize that the time has come. We are living out the prophecy that the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy about in our own day. It's really an amazing thing in our churches that such the essential element of truth itself cannot even be agreed upon. Everybody seems to have their viewpoint of what amounts to truth. And so I would ask that you pray for our churches, that we might be salt and light in our communities and in our nation. I would ask also that you pray for our nation tonight. This indeed is a very historic occasion in our nation. The face of this country may well change overnight. The constitutional republic in which we live, where we have grown accustomed to freedom as we have, where we are at liberty to worship according to the dictates of our conscience, may all change in a wide sweeping decree tonight out of Washington, D.C. And I would pray and ask you to pray with me that God's will be done. And it may well be that God's will would be for the health care legislation to pass. It may just be. But I would ask that you pray for our nation. And I would ask you to pray also for the nation of Israel. You know, if you've been following at all the storyline over the past year or so, the United Nations and our country and others have tried to persuade and bribe Iran out of its nuclear program to no avail. A lot of diplomacy going on. And several months ago, the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, visited in Russia to try to convince them that they should not, that they should support what is called by diplomats crippling sanctions, which now are not going to work. But he encouraged them to support that, and then he made this second request: please do not ship to them the advanced missile defense system, the S-300s. You need to know that the powers that be in the nation of Russia utterly rejected the Prime Minister of Israel and his request and have already shipped the S-300s to Iran so that they can protect incoming air assault and missile attacks on their nuclear bunkers with technology that they could never have obtained otherwise. And you need to know that tonight, while our Congress is making history in Washington, that tomorrow the Prime Minister of Israel will meet with President Barack Obama. And you might want to pray for him, that he stand his ground. As you know, the intention is to divide Jerusalem, the capital, give half to the terrorists of the world and half to Israel. And such statements were made to the nation there after they made that ill-timed announcement of more construction in Gaza, that they need to prove their good faith, that they really want peace. They need to prove that. And so you understand that for the past year, the direction of our nation and its affection and support of Israel has decreased greatly. And you understand that connected with any nation's blessing is in accordance with its willingness to support and encourage the nation of Israel. So tonight, would you pray that in advance of the storm that's brewing, the boiling pot that is steaming, pray for the people of Israel that multitudes would come to a saving, believing trust in the Messiah. There's nothing that will prevent the storm of the Great Tribulation from coming. That's already cast in the mold. That's going to be. No getting away from it. But what can be and what is variable tonight is the number of people that would be exempt from that judgment, having been saved by grace, and that when the rapture sounds, they, like we, the believing Gentile tribes, will be taken with the Lord to heaven. Now, I know many of you have made phone calls. Many of you people have already been praying over these things. Continue to do that. But tonight I felt it necessary that as a church, that we would spend a significant portion of our time together in prayer with these as our focal points: our home, our church, our brethren, sister churches, near and far, our nation, and certainly the nation of Israel.